We're going to lean into the word that speaks truth, that speaks life, that brings all what we're going through today into perspective of who he is. So as we do that, won't you turn to someone else around the table where you have it on table, seats. We love the table, but don't we? Won't you turn to somebody and say, who else is worthy? Nobody. Nobody. Well, good morning. If we haven't met before, my name's Michelle. It's so great to be here this morning to be able to open up the Word of God. Welcome to everyone joining us online. So great that we can join with you. I'm sure you're looking amazing there, maybe in the pajamas, maybe in the comfy clothes. I don't know, but you're looking great regardless. And so as we do open up this Word of God, that what we have got, as Pastor Dean mentioned earlier, is that in just a week's time there is Easter, is this lead up to Easter. And what we have got coming up on Easter Sunday is just this amazing opportunity for baptism. That we have got some people already, we're in conversation, that they are in this place where they're like, I want to take this opportunity. And what a great Sunday to do that, on Resurrection Sunday, to say, I want to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour. And I want to do that to my tribe here at True North. So if that's something that God is prompting you, something you're feeling is a next step in your journey, your walk with God, we would love to be able to follow you up. You can scan that QR code in front of you and we'll get in contact with you this week and love for you to be a part of that Resurrection Sunday, to be able to have that moment in your journey, in your walk, to say, hey, Jesus, I want to make you Lord and Saviour over my life. So that is coming up next week, and we're in this series called Easter People, and this week we're in the third week of that, where we have been looking at these different interactions of people encountering this resurrection life of Jesus, where he is appearing to them. And we've seen that over these last couple of weeks with Thomas and with the disciples. And today we're going to jump in and we're going to look at a story in Luke 24, where we're seeing Jesus and he encounters these two men. They're not named, they're not known, which I sort of like about this story. It's like Jesus, as in this story, appears to them. He appears to anyone and everyone. It's not just, you know, his inner circle or his people. He comes and he appears to these guys, they are his disciples, and he appears to them. Their names are not known. So we're going to look at the scripture here in John, did I say Luke before? John 24, and we're going to open it up and we're going to read the Word of God, and that what we believe here at True North is that the Word of God is alive, that it has the power to transform our lives, that whilst it was written all that time ago, it is alive, and it as we apply it to our lives, that it has the power to change us. Who's ready to be changed by the Word of God? Yeah, we ready? Okay, we're gonna read here, join with me at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Now, at this point, if we just take ourselves back to 2020, and COVID is all over the place, right? Everyone's talking about, if they're 2 years old, they're talking, I have to sanitize my hands. If they're older, we're talking about everything in between. Where do we get toilet paper? So over here, this is what's happening. Everyone knows about it. And Jesus comes alongside and they're like, hey, what are you discussing? Well, can you imagine someone during COVID like, hey, what are you talking about this COVID? What is that even? This is the context of what's happening here. And so they go on. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he goes on, he says, what things, he asks. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women were amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are and slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on their way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Over here we see that Jesus encountered these two men while they were on this journey. 7 miles, it says. They were coming from a Passover festivities and they're heading back home, this road to Emmaus. And this seven-mile journey, which is something like 11 kilometres for us, where you would look at maybe if we're looking at a marking point, say Mindari through to Iluka, if we walk down the coast. That is that sort of distance that they're travelling here. And when they're travelling in this space, we see this revealed Christ in their life. That in that journey, in their walk home, that Christ is revealed to them. And for us today, as we bring this scripture and we see that the living word of God and what is described here in this space, where God, Jesus has revealed himself to these men on their walk, on their journey. That we today, that as we are walking our Emmaus walk, that as we're walking our life, as we're walking through the different seasons that we find ourselves in today, that there is a revelation that Christ can bring to us. That there is the revealed Christ in the situations that we walk in. And we're going to look at the scriptures here on this journey as they walk this walk and how Christ is that revelation on the road that comes to them. That we too today, that no matter where our journey is, that we would take something from this scripture of Christ in our story, Christ revealed in our walk, Christ revealed in our journey, in our pathway. No matter how it is, whether we're in the highest high or the lowest low or anything in between, that Christ can be revealed. So as we see this in the story here, and we see the account of these two men, and they're walking along, we recognize here, these interactions with Jesus as they're walking along, is that they're walking and they're returning home. And Jesus draws near to them, the scripture says. That he draws near to them and they cannot recognize him. He draws near to them and he is kept from their sight. He draws near and he starts talking to them, but they do not know the very one who walks beside them. That he is concealed from them, that as they're walking that journey and they're walking that pathway and they're a bit sad and they're a bit downcast is what the Bible says, is that as they're walking that downcast sadness, then they don't recognize the very one who walks with him, that he is concealed and kept from their sight. At this point, they don't know that Jesus is right beside them. But all the while, as Jesus draws near to them, as he speaks to them, as he interacts with them, that the Bible says that they can't see and they don't feel like he is there. And I see that as a similar thing sometimes on our journey, on our walk, that when we're walking different pathways and different seasons of life and you're walking along and you feel like, I can't see Jesus. I can't feel Jesus. He doesn't feel like he is near. He doesn't feel like he is close by. And in Hebrews 13:5, it says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That whilst Jesus may feel like he is concealed and we cannot see him or we cannot recognize that he is there, the truth of the scriptures says that Jesus will never leave you and he will never forsake you. That Jesus is always beside us, that Jesus is always with us, that Christ himself is within us. That if someone's walking today and you're feeling like I'm walking this pathway and I cannot see or know where God is at the moment, can I tell you that Jesus is right beside you? Jesus walks with you. That in those moments when you feel like you're walking this alone, the truth is that he is right there. That you may not see him or recognize him, but he is with you. And so as we first walk this, as we're looking at this journey, we're looking at this pathway, the road that we are walking, that there are moments where we may not recognize that Jesus is right with us. But the truth of the matter is that he is there and he is with us and he is very near to us. And the second part of when we're seeing these guys and they're walking along and Jesus asks them, you know, what things are going on here? He's asking these two the question, you know, what are the things? You know, you're talking about all these things that are happening. You tell me what are the things that are happening. Now, Jesus himself, as we know, he's the main star of the show. He knows exactly what's happening. But he stops to ask them this question. Tell me what you see is happening. Tell me your assumption. Tell me what you see of the events that have just taken place. Tell me your perspective of all what has happened right now. Tell me what you see. And so they go on and they're describing what they see. And these two are describing that, you know, they hoped that Jesus was the one. They hoped he was going to be the one who redeemed Israel. They thought he was going to be this prophet that would come and save Israel. They hoped that he was going to be the Messiah. They thought the very best days had now ended. They walked away. That was their perspective. That's their assumption. That all that they thought Jesus was going to be, that it's ended. He died. It's over. I'm going home. Their perspective of what had taken place was very different to the actual of what had happened. So Jesus informs them of this situation. It says there in the scripture that he talks about the scripture and talks about all that has happened. And he says to them that, you know, you're foolish and you're slow to believe what has happened. And he doesn't discount what has happened. The reality of what happened has not changed. But their perspective on what has happened is not right. The circumstances that we face are not nearly as important as the conclusions we draw. The circumstances that we find ourselves in aren't necessarily always going to be easy. They're going to be hard. They're going to be rough at times. But what are the conclusions that we are drawing from as we face those circumstances? The problem wasn't what had happened. The problem is what they had come up with. After Jesus walks with them and he's listening to them and he's talking to them, he challenges them on how they are thinking. That he says, opens up the scripture and I can imagine that he's teaching them, can't you remember all of what the old prophets have pointed to, all of what the Old Testament is pointing to, is this very moment that Jesus Christ would be born as a child, that he would live, that he would die, that he would suffer so that he would be glorified. And they're opening up the scripture and they're talking about, can you not believe that? They were slow to believe. And what they saw from what they could imagine, from what they can look at, is that it was over. Their perspective is, we hoped that Jesus was the one. We hoped that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel, be the one that's going to come and save us. And they got the whole view wrong from what they came up with themselves. They didn't pull out those scriptures of what was foretold. They didn't lean on what is truth. They leant on their own understanding and what they could see. And like what we can see is Jesus has died. So it's finished. The woman's conclusion, when they go to the grave and they go to the tomb and the stone is rolled away and they go there with their spices ready to prepare the body, their conclusion was wrong as well. Their conclusion was someone's stolen the body. That the conclusion to what had been happening was challenged by every one of them, of what they're seeing and what they're believing. The circumstances that they were faced with was very different to what they were coming up with. It's very easy when we can just see in this dimension of what is happening, that we can also come up with conclusions that maybe are not true to what is actually happening. That maybe we come with our perspective that actually in the light of who Jesus is, the resurrected Christ, how is this situation different? That our perspective, that how slow we are sometimes to believe and come up to the conclusion to think that maybe this is the end. What else is there? Christ has died and Christ is risen. That we have a whole different perspective. That we have a whole different perspective. That we would believe, be quick to believe. These guys, I don't want to be called foolish and slow to believe by Jesus. I want to be, God, that my heart would be quick to believe. That my heart would not go quickly to what I can see, what I can touch, what I can come up with my own thinking. But actually, what is the perspective of a risen king in this situation? What is the perspective of Jesus who has conquered death in this situation? What is the perspective of the king whose name is above every other name in this situation? That is a perspective that we would be quick to believe. Our story may look different in terms of how we are able to view it. That these guys, their thought was that this is the end. But the truth of that story, as we know it on this side, it's just the beginning. It was just the beginning. What Christ was died and he rose again, that we would have life and life abundantly. It was just the beginning of the story. That Jesus reveals himself twice in this story. He reveals himself on the road and he reveals himself at the table. And in our walk, when we feel like we're dragging our feet and kicking the rocks and feeling like, you know, like these guys just standing still and sad with what the outcomes are in life, that God in all his grace and all his wonder and all his beauty, that he comes and is able to do some work in our life. That what Jesus over here, Jesus is walking along with him, he draws nearer them. And then they're walking along and they're almost home and they're like heading sort of off the track and Jesus keeps it cool and he keeps on like pretending like he's walking further and they're like, no, 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 come with us. Stay at our house. We'll feed you. It's drawing near to evening. It's going to get dark. You come and stay with us. And what we know from this story is that Jesus doesn't always work in obvious ways. Sometimes he works in ways that we cannot imagine. He works sometimes in the little subtleties. He sometimes reveals himself in those big moments. He sometimes can reveal himself through a word, through the scripture, when he brings life to us when we read the word of God and he reveals himself in there, in our story, in the situations we're in. He can reveal himself through creation, through people, through a word, through a picture, that Jesus reveals himself to these guys in these moments. And sometimes it can be subtle and sometimes it can be bam in your face. But Jesus' revelation, I believe, that as we walk our journey and we walk our story, that those words of God can bring a different perspective in what we see. It can bring a difference in our walk and our journey as God reveals himself in that picture. These guys are walking this road and and they're walking along and seemingly cool, and Jesus now, they enter the house and they're at the table. And that in this moment that Jesus comes and he grabs the bread to break it. But in tradition, the host of the house would come along and they would break that bread. But Jesus breaks the bread. And in that moment, these guys realize it was Christ who is walking with us. It is Christ who has been with us. It is Christ. Sometimes we walk journey and we can't see that Jesus is in us. But then there's moments when Christ is revealed to us. And in that moment, Christ revealed himself to them. And then he was gone from them. And that in our life, there are these moments of revelation that may come through word and through picture or however that looks. But then sometimes there are these big moments when Christ reveals himself. And just last weekend at Alpha, and got permission to share this story with from Paul, that as we're away at Alpha weekend away, and that's all about, you know, just having this space and time that the Holy Spirit would work in the lives of people. And Paul's story is that he has come from an atheist family, that he was, you know, not going to church, not really interested, but Allison started inviting him along to church, and so he was sort of coming, and then he's like, nah, that's not for me, and then she got him signed up for Imagine Conference, and he came along, and he thought, this is great. He loved the social aspect of it, and connecting with people, and being with people, but the rest of it, you know, you can keep that. And so he was this way inclined. And then she brings him along to Alpha, and he comes along. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, there are many, many, many questions. Lots of questions. And also in his description, he would say that a lot of logic. Like, tell me, how does it work? How do you piece it together? How does this happen? How does that? And there are just some things you cannot. There is, so like the question after question after question that he is asked. He's like, and he goes, I get it in my mind. I can understand it. He goes, but I don't understand my heart. And so we get to this Holy Spirit weekend and Alpha weekend, and there is a session in the evening where there is this invitation to be able to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. And at that point, there's a few of us that went up and went to Paul, and he was really hungry for that. He's like, I want to know God is real. I can understand that he is real, but I want to know he's real. And so at that point, there's a few of us that went over to him and we prayed for him. And as we were praying, he's sort of opening up, his description is he's opening his eyes like, nothing's happening, nothing's going on, what's happening here? And it's all just like one eye open, one eye closed sort of thing happening with him. And then as we all took our hands off him, and the last hand was off him, he goes, I felt like there was water that gushed up from my feet to my head. And he physically just stood back. And I just asked, hey, Paul, what's going on? And he stood back and he's like, what is going on? He's crying. He would describe himself as he doesn't show emotion, he doesn't cry, he doesn't do these things. But there was a revelation of a God who loves him, a God who's for him, a God who surpasses all our understanding and logic and all these things. He felt it. He knew it. He knew there is a God that is alive. And then the next morning, just from a different perspective, Nick was actually not there on the Saturday night. He was with his kids on that night. And the next morning, he was cooking breakfast for everyone. And Paul comes in and he's like, what happened to you? And he's just this. And he describes it as, you look different. There's something different about you. And then on Wednesday, he bounces into Alpha and he's like buying everyone drinks. Who wants a wine? Do you want a wine? Do you want a wine? He's buying everyone wine. And there is something changes when we have a revelation of God. It may be so obvious like that. It may be in the subtleties of it. But what I know is as Christ is revealed in our story, we see it differently. That when Christ is with us, as he changed that whole perspective, what we see of these two guys, they hightailed it back to Jerusalem. It was night, remember. There is no street lights. There is no smartphone with torches. They went straight back, 11 kilometres. They're like, let's go tell the people. Changed in their life. That there is revelation in our life, in our stories, that as we see it from the perspective of a God, of Christ who has come, who has died, who is seated in heaven, who has conquered the grave, and that same power lives in us, it changes everything. It changes everything. I'm going to invite the band to come up. And as we wrap up this morning, that power of Jesus, the revelation of Christ, that in this story transformed and just started the story of these guys' life. That I'm not sure where you are at this morning. And maybe you have a teenager and they are testing the boundaries of life in you. The revelation, the truth of that story, they are a gift of God. They are a gift of God. Or finances are hard and they're tough and they're tight at the moment. The Word of God says, how much more than the birds that they will clothe, the fields that he will dress, is he got you in that? That he will care for you in that? That in our finances, that in our relationships, that whatever our story, in our health, wherever our story is, this morning, that I feel that in this moment, that what we've got to turn our attention to, what we've got to recognize in the story and the pathway, if you are in a space and everything's going okay in life, you're feeling pretty comfy, you're feeling pretty cruisy, everything's going pretty comfy, can I challenge you that what we have been designed for, what we've been called for, what we've been set apart for, is not that we would have a comfortable life. It's not that we would have an okay life. It's that we would live, that this world beyond these walls would know the love of Jesus Christ. And so we don't stay comfortable as we are, but we walk in the power of a risen Christ. That same power that rose him from the dead lives in me, and that I would be sent from here into my story, into my world, onto my pathway home, that I would live a life for Christ. And that in that, that we wouldn't live comfortable. We wouldn't live like things are going all right. Or maybe there are those challenges. That we would live with the perspective that Jesus Christ in our story, with us. And I'd love, as we play this song, and we're going to sing in a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand if you'd like. We've been singing, who else but you, Jesus? Who else but you, Jesus? That same power, I want it to live in me. I want to live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in my life. I want to live set apart for his plans and his purposes. I want to live that in the challenges of life, that I would see Jesus at work, not just what's happening, but his story and what's happening. And if that's you and you would like to be able to pray that prayer, that Christ, that same power would live in me, we're going to take some time. We're going to pray for people. We're going to pray that that same power would be at work in our lives. And I'm going to invite you, as the team sing those songs, that we're going to sing this song, The Same Power, that you would come down the front. We're just going to lay hands and just quickly pray. Lord, give them what they need. May the power of the Holy Spirit be at work in their life. And so we're going to simply pray that. So if that's you and you'd like to be, God, I want to live in that flow. I want to live in the flow of the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to live in the flow of the power that has conquered the grave. We're going to pray that he'd empower you to go out and to walk your walk, which is so different to the person next to you. So won't you come as a team play, and we're going to pray for you in that.